We have two readings this morning. The first is from Romans, Romans 7, verses 1 to 13. Let's start with that. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members, to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. What shall we say then? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 10, verses 34 to 39. These are the very words of Jesus. This is what he said. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to Christ. Today's gospel is confusing, even offensive. And this is interesting. Jesus intended it to be offensive. Jesus regularly offended the Pharisees, the religious and political elites of his day. He offended them when he publicly forgave blatant sinners, like prostitutes or tax collectors or adulterers. He offended them when he broke the Sabbath law by healing people on the Sabbath day. Those in power in first century Israel found Jesus offensive. We don't live in that time or place, and so generally, Jesus does not offend us until we read something like we just read. For example, we just read, whoever loves father or mother more than me, or even more striking, whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. How many thousands of Christian books have been written on the topic of loving your kids, raising your kids, teaching your kids, giving your kids every conceivable advantage. That's what good Christian parents do. Love their kids. Ask Dr. James Dobson. But here, Jesus says, whoever loves their kids more than me is unworthy of me. That's offensive, even to us. Why would Jesus turn it into some kind of contest? Why would he say something like that? Here's why. He's trying to make a point. It's a point he tries to make over and over because we don't get it right away. If you read Mark chapter 10, you'll find the story of the wealthy young man who approached Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, how can I be sure I'm going to heaven?" Jesus responded first by saying, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Now, as far as getting into heaven goes, have you kept the Ten Commandments? The rich young man responded, "Yes, I have. I've kept the commandments since I was a child." To which Jesus replied, "There's still one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have, give all your money to the poor, and come and follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven." At this, the young man's countenance fell, it says, and he walked away disheartened, just like you or I would. Why? Because he didn't have it within himself to give as Jesus called him to give. He didn't have it within himself to love his neighbor as himself. Neither do you. Neither do I. There's only one person who ever did, and it's not you or me. That's the point. You know, a few chapters back in Matthew chapter 5, you'll find Jesus once again making one of the most offensive, outrageous demands imaginable. Jesus said, "If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell." Pretty harsh. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus continued, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." What's his point? His point is, you can't do what's demanded of you here. You can't keep God's law. And that brings us to what we read a few minutes ago from Matthew chapter 10. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The point is not to somehow conjure up more love for Jesus and simultaneously tamp down the love you have for your children. That's not the point at all. The point is, none of us are worthy of Jesus. And the point of Christianity is not that we achieve perfection. The point is that Jesus, who is perfect, has come to save, to forgive, and to rescue us, who are dismally imperfect, far from perfect. The radical, revolutionary, outrageous message of Christianity is that Christ died on a cross not for the moral, but for the immoral, the imperfect. And that includes you. If you don't believe it, read Matthew 5. In fact, speaking of outrageous, take a look at what we read in Romans 7 just this morning. Paul wrote that those with faith in Christ have been released from the law. He compared it to marriage. If a woman is married, she's cast her lot with her husband. If she ditches him for another man, she's labeled an adulteress, and the result is likely divorce. But if her husband dies, she's no longer bound to him. She's free to marry another man without consequence. Just like the example of marriage, If you cast your lot with the law, if you depend on your ability to keep God's law, but you can't do it, the consequence is separation from God and eventual death. Lots of people cast their lot with the law. Most people. But for you who cast your lot with Christ, you are now free from the law. You've died to the law, as Paul puts it. When you sin in thought, word, or deed, you're forgiven. And in God's eyes, you're not called a sinner. You're identified as one of the forgiven, one of the redeemed of the Lord. And you're forgiven not just once, but over and over again. And forgiven not in order that you might sin freely. You're forgiven in order that you might bear good fruit for God, as Paul puts it. I know this is a radical message of God's forgiveness and mercy, but this is faith in Christ. Those who present Christianity as primarily a moral code and the Bible as primarily a handbook for living, frankly, they rip Christ right out of Christianity. The Bible is the story of God redeeming mankind from our sinfulness. And the core of Christianity is the gospel proclamation to us sinners that we are forgiven for the sake of Christ who died for us. We're forgiven and reconciled with God. So those of us who are lonely, those of us who are afraid, those of us who are steeped in regret, those of us trapped in addiction, those of us weighed down with disappointment, those of us who grieve, despite what's happened, despite what you've done in the past, despite what you might struggle with in the present, you can cry out to God with confidence, confidence that in His mercy and compassion, He will hear you and respond with mercy and help and redemption. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You belong to Christ. Though you are sinful, Christ died for you. You are loved by God. So be at peace. Relax. Amen.